exposed to many of these ideas, and you have to know exactly where it fits in. The psyche means the essence of man. That which is not the animal part, that part of man which is his unique makeup. And psyche, according to the Rambam, I'm just using the word, the any word. And psyche, according to the psychologists, are two different things. Two different things, you see? Why are they two different things? Why are they two different things? What do you say? They would, in a certain case, they would call the person healthy, and the Rambam would call him diseased. Which case? The question boils down to one thing. The question, different sciences, they sound like they're separate, but they are not, it's not necessarily true. For instance, history and philosophy. What does history have to do with philosophy? Right? Nothing. The answer is, it has a lot to do with philosophy. Why? Because what is the definition of history? What does history mean? Something happened in the past, right? But there's so many things that happened in the past. Somebody walked across the street yesterday. It happened in the past, right? A person was walking across the street in Athens. It happened in the past. Is that history? No. I mean, it's history, but it's not a history. You wouldn't receive a history course and all the events that happened in the past. So what do? They sift. They sift. They go through and they say certain events are history, certain events aren't. By what criteria do they, what criteria do they use to define it? What criteria do they use? Huh? What criteria do they use?
A
great effect on society. Societal factors. Correct? Okay. Right. So that's what they base, in other words, they maintain that those factors are important. I could give you an argument equally as well to show you that it's absurd. For instance, let's say, for instance, a person is a chacham, right? And he lives the life of chachma. So he takes a look around at society and he sees how many people really live the life of chachma. Very few, right? So insofar as he's concerned, is he interested in the lives of the fools that's around him? No, because that's just a waste of time for him, correct? You understand what I mean? You understand? Because the way, in other words, insofar as he's concerned, since he has the true way of life, so all the people around who are groping and grappling around, they're doing crazy things, living crazy lifestyles because of their taivas, and they're inventing all kinds of ways to have taivas, and the governments are based on a system in which you can have the most taiva. All these things, is he concerned with these things? Are those things still important or are they not important? Oh, he has no interest, right? Okay. Now, then, therefore, would he be interested, in other words, now since he would consider society as people who are lost and groping and have no idea of what they're doing, right? So the study of all the societies of the past up to the present, would that be the study of fools or the study of intelligent people? What would you say? According to the person who's the one chacham, what would he say? What would he say? But isn't it true that society is the impact on civilization as we have it today, the impact on society as we have it today comes mainly from the hamon, from the masses of the society that were responsible for it, correct? So therefore history would be the study of ignoramuses and the study of fools. So would he be concerned with such a study? Would he be concerned with such a study? What do you say?
Well, it's important.
Okay. Is he interested in that? Or would he rather study the lives of Chachamim? Which would he rather study? So therefore, to him, he wouldn't make a history out of the societies. If he would make a history, what would his history be out of? Yeah, that's right, exactly right. You see? So therefore, there would be a philosophical argument as to which is the important history to know. And which a person should really work in. Certainly it will be more important to work on the history of Chachamim where you can get true ideas than just to waste your time working on the history of fools. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Yes? Well, let me ask you a question. If you're going to study medicine, is it important to study about medicine men and the mistakes they made, or should you study the good medicine? What do you have to study? Would you go, if you want to study medicine, you study all the mistakes that the medicine men made, or would you study the medicine the way the knowledge of medicine you have it today? What would you do? That would be the, what? That would be the more important thing. One second. That would be the more important thing? Okay, so of the two studies, which would be more important? The study of Chacham or the study of the societies? Without a doubt, the study of Chacham. Correct? Because if you're going to say that in order to know the truth, you have to study every falsehood, then what you're going to say is that we should take, for instance, study biology, right? You should study every wrong idea in biology that ever occurred. Right? Is that the proper way to go about it? Or once we know... Exactly. Once you know the right idea, you have to go study every false idea that ever crept up. I mean, you realize.
But let me ask you this. Is history the nature of people? Is that the nature of people? Isn't there a specific science called the nature of people? Psychology. Right? Excuse me? One second. So we didn't include. If a person knows psychology, then does he know when a person studies psychology itself? Would there be any reason for him to study history then? Besides psychology, if your argument is that he really has to know the ideas of, he has to know people in order to get along with them, then certainly wouldn't have to know history. He has to know psychology. That's the field he should know. Why history? The answer is basically, what is the answer? The answer is he doesn't need it. Exactly. So it's ridiculous. The only thing is, yes, just to review, history means events that happened in the past. Now, events in the past, yes, thousands of events. So why choose certain events and put them in a history book? Why not other events? So the answer is you choose important events. Now, important, what does important mean? Important means important to who? Based upon the one that's writing the history, right? Now, he has to have criteria which he chooses to use. You understand what I'm saying? It might be important for him, this person might be important to know which dates different things occur. You might like that. That's important to him. You understand what I'm saying? That becomes history. It's all based on the philosophy of the writer. History is not an objective science. By the way, what do Chazal say about Torah? What do Chazal say about Torah? Ain muktum u'mu'ucha b'Torah. Why? Why ain muktum u'mu'ucha b'Torah? Why isn't it a history book? Why? Because apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wrote his book, did not consider the events per se to be important, but rather he felt it's only important insofar as what? Insofar as learning. Exactly right. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't write these type of history we have today. You understand? Oh. So therefore we say as follows: since history is based on philosophy, because you philosophy meaning you have to decide which events are important, now to a chacham would choose a whole different chain of events than a person from the Hamon. Don't you understand that? Therefore, if a person is a chacham, he will write a different history than a person who's from the Hamon. Is that not true? And to him, different events will... Which person whose life is influenced by his taifas, this is the way he lives. Now, to him, important means those things which are in line with the things that interest him, right? You understand what I'm saying? But to a chacham, the main thing to him is the things that interest him, which is chachma, right? So isn't it true if a chacham would write a history that he choose different events than a regular guy from the Hamon? Is that not true? I mean, it has to, because he lives differently. The things that are important to him are not important to the other person. And history is a selection of important events, right? You understand what I'm saying? Right? Okay. So therefore I say like this. I say if history is written by the people of the Hamon, people who aren't chacham, right? Regular history, English history, American world history, whatever history you want, right? Okay. So therefore, to this person, these events are important. Now, why are these events important to him? Because they're things which affect his life in a way. Like, has to do with chachma, you understand? They would both agree on.
But the other part, they wouldn't. And the question is, essentially, when they mention the chacham, do they really mention the ideas of the chacham? Or do they just mention him insofar as he affected the society because they're interested in the society? You understand what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that if you study the important events that they choose in history, what are the important events in history? Which events? Events which have societal impact. Impact on large societies. They don't care if it affected a little group of 15 people in the mountain somewhere. Even though the ideas that affected that small group might have been more important than anything else. You understand? They wouldn't like... You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So therefore... You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, it comes out like this. It's a study of society, right? Now, if we should maintain that society in general is sick, that society in general are not chachamim. They live a crazy life. Okay? Let's take today's society, right? So therefore, we will say, what is the study of history? It's the study of Mishagayim. Right? Wouldn't you have to say that? Wouldn't you logically have to say that?
Yeah.
So therefore, if that is the case, what would you rather spend your life in? Studying Mishagayim or studying Chacham? I am not saying right now, I'm not discussing the issue right now whether there is any benefit in history or there isn't any benefit in history. It's a long discussion. I'm just trying to show you one thing. I'm trying to show you that certainly, according to the theoretical lines that we've laid out, it comes out that history, which people think is such an objective science, is based on a philosophy also. You understand what I'm saying? It depends who you study. If you study a person as a chacham, then you're studying chachma. But if you study a person as a mishugana, right, you study about King Richard Lionheart, you study about this guy, that guy, guys who are crazy. Yeah. Here, history doesn't differentiate between them. History just cares about the Hamon, those people who affect society to the greatest degree. Right? So mass is large mass movements, right? So mass movements, on the whole, the masses, you'll usually find on the whole, the masses are not the intellectuals, and certain people are chacham, the rest of the masses just Hamon on, just follow through. Okay? He asked me a question, he says, but you need to know in order to know human nature. So yes, me side point. So I told you, human nature is a study of human nature. What's the study of human nature? Psychology. Right? History really, I want you to understand, history per se is not psychology. History per se is only the first step. In other words, history just shows you, in other words, like this, if a person does something, so it just shows you the events. You understand what I'm saying? But it doesn't go into the cause of the events. It'll show you that a man did this event, and then it affected society in this way. But it doesn't show you the psychology of the person of why he did the event. That's not history anymore. That's psychology. If you go into why the person did this thing, why this leader did this thing at this time, that's not history anymore. You see? You understand what I'm saying? What? That's psychology. That's psychology. History is just the study of the superficial events that occurred. We see event A, and then you see event B follows. You know what I mean? But it doesn't... Excuse me? That's the first step, right. You're right. But that isn't really psychology. Psychology is really in-depth. Psychology gets down to the real causes. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay,
that's all you're doing. You're stopping at that point. The point where you're stopping at the point where you don't really know the cause. You just take two events. You see one event occurred before, event A occurred before event B. But once you never, if you never explain the cause of the event, you're not getting anywhere. You're just lining up events. You understand what I'm saying? That's why in history, history is not psychology, because history stops before the point of psychology. It just shows you event A occurred, then event B, and then event C. That's it. Now, why these events, to get down to the real cause, you have to go into psychology. But it doesn't go into psychology. So in other words, it leaves you flat right before you get the underlying causes. Yeah, sure. But that's something else. I'll give you an example. Like, you have in psychology, you have a case history. What's the case history? You see, they show you events a person did in the day, right? Did this, did that whole thing. But that's just the case history. That's just the beginning. Then you go analyze and you explain the relationship between the different events. That's already psychology. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the problem is, yeah, sure it's important, but the problem is like this. When you're studying a science, you have to understand, what are you going to do? Are you going to study facts, thousands and thousands of facts, and never analyze them? You understand? Or how many facts do you need before you start analyzing? As soon as you have one or two facts, you start analyzing already.
Yes.
But courses in history, they just go on and on and on and on. In other words, you keep on getting more facts and more facts and more facts. Now, when is the point when you start analyzing it? You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
in order to analyze it, first you should have a basis in psychology. Know psychology well. So you understand how the psyche works. Then when you see the events, you'll know exactly how it takes place. But if you just start reading events, you don't even know why this event is related to that event. You understand what I'm saying? The person wants to study diseases, right? So first he has to know the human body, right? Once he knows medicine, he knows the human body, then he can see, when he sees different events, different things occurring, so he'll be able to understand how and why it works. If he doesn't know the human body, how does he know? You understand what I'm saying? Same thing over here. Before he goes into the history, the guy has to have a foundation of psychology. First he has to know how the mind is, what the mind is and how it works. Then he can go and he can start analyzing the events. But that's not the way it's done. The way it's done is simply that you just study all these events, you see. For some reason they consider them important. All right, societal, because of societal reasons. So therefore you have to spend your time studying that. You don't really get down to the underlying causes. So it's a complete waste of time. Yes. I understand one thing. The real thing is a simple thing. You know, years ago, when they used to teach a person before in Greece, when they taught courses, so the first course they taught was logic. That was the first course. Why did they teach that first? Because if you don't know how to think, how could you move if you don't know how to think, right? Now, isn't that rational? Okay. But today, you know very well that's not the case. A person can become a PhD in 15 fields and still not know how to think. Now, isn't that an absurdity? It's absurd, right? It's really plain absurdity. But that's the way it's done. So what are you going to say? That it's absurd, but that's it. So they always thought, well, you go to college, you still don't know how to think. They know it's true. They know the chassar is there, but nothing is done to rectify it. And they have to know why nothing is done to rectify it. Why nothing is done to rectify it is a simple reason. Because you have to realize that there are social pressures. You're living in a democracy. If you have strict requirements before you can go to college for logic, you know how many people will be eliminated? An awful lot, you see? If college would be a situation in which you're really supposed to learn chokmah, you'd have to clear out most of the classes because most people couldn't do it. You don't have a few left. Now, in a democracy, could you imagine a situation like that?
Why is it
not? Not about lower schools, high schools. Some people just don't have the ability. How do we have in Klal Yisrael? In Klal Yisrael, how did it work? But not on the whole, you don't. If you make it real chokmah, real deep chokmah, how many people do you think will be able to follow Tesis with all the ideas? Very, very few. Very few. That's why you had in Yahadis, you had like this. You had Chachmei Yisrael, then you have the Hamona. Even among us. So you have Chachmei Yisrael, you have the Hamona. Learn Chumash and Rashi, learn a little bit of Parsha Mishnayos. That's all they can do. They can't do anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Because in Yahadis, we believe never to dilute the subject because of the people. This is not a democracy. Everything is very fair and democratic. But you can't be democratic by chachma. I mean, one person is a big chachma, one person isn't. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu made it. You understand what I'm saying? But in a democracy, people try to make a certain equality, even though it's not equal. So they want, the society wants everybody to be able to get a PhD. It's not fair. The truth of the matter is, even the way the system is right now, it's not fair. Why? I'll tell you why it's not fair. Because the system is done as follows. What they do is like this. Instead of, when they take chachamim, you see, and they give their ideas in brief. But they don't really go through the proofs of the chacham and why they see the idea. Just go through the synopsis. Now the point is like this. They don't go through the proofs, because if they really had it, you realize, give an example. Let's say, for instance, your algebra book. Do you know how many chachamim it took to make the guy spent their lives in that little ninth year math that you have? You know, the algebra. That's what you have in ninth year math, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you ever went through the ideas of those guys, it would take you guys years and years before you ever got through and you got near it. Why do they do it this way? They just make it formulas, and then you just suck in the formula and you get the answer. You just have a feeling when you read it. What type formula goes here? Put it in, that's it. Why do you think they do it that way? Because if they did it the other way, if you had to go through the minds of these guys, you'd never be able to do it. Not all, first of all, you wouldn't be able to do it practically. But who cares about practicality? You should really be interested in the ideas of math. If they want to teach you in math, they should really teach you the ideas. But what's the point? The point is, if they would teach it that way, you would have a few guys in the class that could follow it. This way, it's just a formula, so any dummy can sit down there, can work it out, say, well, look, this, that, work out the formula. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you have to realize that it has to be, because of the social pressures, they have to take the subject and dilute it. If you ever read, for instance, if you're interested in math, if you ever read Alfred North Whitehead's book on Introduction to Mathematics, if you would see, he was one of the greatest mathematicians in the world, he was one of the few guys in the world that understood Einstein when he came up with theory. Yeah. So he made a breakthrough in mathematics. The whole new movement in math today, he was responsible for. He made one of the big breakthroughs there with the symbolic logic. He's undisputed, one of the top men in the world of mathematics. Anyways, so if you read his books, you see the way he criticizes the way the system where they teach mathematics. He says they destroy it, destroy the subject. Just formulas and formulas and just practicality and just sucking in formulas into problems. This is an attention. The whole beauty of mathematics is lost. And it shows what math really is. Chachma, how they're supposed to, in ideas, and Svara, what it is. What? I'm talking about nothing. Why can't they do it that way? For a simple reason. Because if they were doing it, practicality. If you're going to have one or two guys in the class, who's going to be a class that could follow the ideas of math? Very few guys. You understand what I mean? So subjects have to be diluted. You understand yourself. A very simple thing. Excuse me? So, you understand what I'm saying? The point, you have to realize one thing. If a system is run by society, look at the people who are running the system. They have their own motivations. Don't just deify the system. This is a system, must be right. Everything isn't built on emes. Very seldom is it built on emes. Usually it is a large amount of sheker that is the motive moving factor. And in society, they understand very well. Well, look at the open admissions. Everybody has to be able to go. Can you imagine a society in which you only have a few guys go to college, everybody else is at home and go to work? They're going to be in an uproar. You understand what I'm saying? So what must they do? They must dilute the subject in such a way that everybody can take it. Okay, everybody knows the psychologist. Everybody can study the mathematicians. It's not Svara. Well, that's the way they do it. That's the way they work out the system. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Actually, it still isn't fair. Why isn't it fair? I'll tell you why it's not fair. Because it excludes a lot of people. You know what it excludes? The system, the way they have it now, excludes people who can't sit and absorb facts. You see? There's some people who can't sit and absorb facts. Psychological weakness. You see? You understand what I'm saying?
But really could absorb...
I'll give you... What? Who might? Who might be able to absorb? But they consider that more fair. You know why they consider that more fair? Because they say this way. A mind you can't do anything about. But this you can force yourself, you can train yourself to do. You know what I mean? But that's not necessarily true. Certain psychological barriers are impenetrable also. They don't realize that. Okay. But that's why we sidetracked an awful lot. Let me get back to the point I wanted to make. Same thing about psychology, you see? Psychology also is based on philosophy, just like history is based on philosophy, because history is based upon what you consider to be important events. I consider other events important. You consider certain events important. You write one history book and I write another history book. The Torah wrote one history book. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers these events important, not the other events. Okay. Now, the question is like this, and psychology also is based on philosophy. Why is it based on philosophy? For a simple reason. Because since the psyche is the essence of man, right? So, how are you going to determine what the essence of man is? How are you going to determine it? So you're telling me it's determined by his function, by the way he acts, right? Okay. Now the question is, functioning in regard to which area? Man can function in regard to many areas. So you'll tell me functioning insofar as the area which is most important, right? Okay, now my next question is, what is the most important area? Okay, you know what a psychologist will tell you? What's the most important area? Emotional area, emotional satisfaction. If a person has emotional satisfaction, he's a healthy person, right? Oh, who says? Who says? Just a minute. If you maintain that Adam was created for the emotional satisfaction, like the Hamona maintains, like most people think, you understand? Then your study of psychology is right. However, the Rambam wouldn't agree with you. Why wouldn't the Rambam agree with you? Why wouldn't the Rambam agree with you? Why? Because what does Rambam maintain? What is man created for? For Chachma. So then the essence of man is the ability to perceive Chachma, right? So if a person doesn't, if a person has a block which prevents him from seeing Chachma, so then he's sick, even though emotionally he's very happy. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, like this. What is an emotion? According, psychologists would say a certain person is ill. Why is he ill? Because he has an emotional problem. He doesn't have emotional satisfaction, correct? But will a psychologist ever maintain that a person is emotionally happy is sick? No, he's emotionally happy. That's a healthy man. What about if he can't see certain ideas in Chachmah? I'll say, so what? It's a side point. It's a small point. He can't see certain areas in Chachmah. You understand what I mean? So he won't. But he's basically a happy, healthy individual. You understand? The Rambam would say, just a minute, my friend. That man is sick. Why is he sick? Because the whole purpose of man is to be able to see Chachmah. And this guy can't see certain ideas in Chachmah, right? So he's a sick man, psychologically. Two psychologies or one psychology? What do you say? Two different psychologies. You understand? If when you say sick over there, you have to be two different ways. He wouldn't say a person who's an idiot is sick, insofar as he's emotionally unhappy. But insofar as we perceive that he should have a higher or a different type of emotional happiness, or a higher type of emotional happiness, then I'll say he's sick. You understand what I'm saying? But a psychologist wouldn't say he's not in conflict. There's something lacking. Now, why do you want to change him? You see, I have to understand there's two things. When I talk about a psychologist, if he sees a person has a 60 IQ, he certainly would not say he's ill. He's mentally ill. He would say that he has a mental deficiency. Now, the question is, why should we want to change him if he's healthy? The answer is because our ideas of emotional happiness are not the same type as his. We want him to have a different, we feel that he'd have a different, a greater emotional happiness, or a different aspect of life that we consider more human. Yeah, correct. No. Extension a different way. According to the Rambam, the essence of man is not the emotional happiness altogether. According to the Rambam, what's the essence of man? What's the essence of man according to the Rambam? Perception of Chochmah. So the Rambam has certain diseases which psychologists wouldn't have. And on the contrary, the Rambam might even have a person who would have a disease that a psychologist would say is bad, but according to the Rambam might say he's not so bad. Or he's not as bad as a person who has another disease, if he could perceive Chochmah. You understand what I'm saying? Someone was created for Chochmah. So therefore, there are diseases of the Tzelem Elokim. It's not the same diseases of the psyche that psychologists are talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you understand? The psychologist says the essence is instinctual. A person is instinctually happy, that's good. Then he's good. Even if he's mentally deficient, they're not going to say he's emotionally sick. Okay, mental deficiency is a separate point. But if, according to the psychologist, it's all the instinctual life that they're concerned with. So health and illness is based on the instinctual. According to the Rambam, it's the Tzelem Elokim, the perception of Chochmah. You understand what I'm saying? It's different, if it's different essence of man, a different psyche. Yes. The emotional is an outgrowth of the instinctual, because in the human being it goes through certain phases of the instinctual. I have to agree that emotionally sick is also sick, but not as it could be. He might hold the guy who has an emotional illness, you see, is not as bad if he perceives Chochmah as a guy who is very healthy emotionally but can't perceive Chochmah. I want you to know one thing. The whole science, the Rambam science, based on this is one difference I'm telling you, but I want you to know that the whole science is different. Because you're dealing with two different people, the person that the Rambam's talking about is not the person or the personality that the psychologist is talking about. It's a different science and a different way of treating it. You understand? Treatments which would help in one case would be harmful in another case. I'll give you an example. In the instinctual case, many times you'll apply certain treatments which will render the person instinctually happy, but might destroy the ability to perceive. You see? You understand? You have to be very careful, because you're going for a different objective. You see? That's why I say the Rambam science of psychology is completely different. You will not find it in college. It's completely different. They don't have the science. They can't have the science. Why can't they have the science? Because one premise. What's the premise? What's the premise they don't have? To tell them what they can. The premise of telling the Kim is different psychology. Yes. Which is most disturbed is bad. state. Emotional disturbance is an imperfection of man, no question about it. He mentions it. That's, he calls it the imperfection of the mitos, emotional disturbance. You have to understand, I always spoke about in the past about the psychology of Yahadus and the psychology, and I never really brought out clearly what the chiluk is. But I wanted to mention a thing now already, we could learn a level, we could see what the difference is. The psychology of Yahadus is different than the psychology of the world. Why? Because it depends what you call what? The psyche. What's the psyche? Okay. What's the essence of man? What's the essence of man? What's his purpose? What's the answer? What's man's purpose? What does psychology say? What's his purpose? Say what? Happiness, emotional happiness. Yahadus? What's the whole purpose of Adam? L'das Hashem. Das Hashem means the ultimate, the highest form of knowledge. Two different functions.
Guy goes to sleep at night, and yes, this bed has to be this way, and this pillow must be right in the middle. He goes through a certain ceremony. That's an obsessive neurotic, okay? Now he knows reality, he knows he's going through the ceremonies, you see, but he can't control himself. It's an obsession, he has to do it. Right? Okay. Now this person knows reality. The only thing is, as I say, he can't control it. A psychotic is a person who doesn't, like schizophrenic is psychotic. Small as one. The person doesn't see, he doesn't know reality, see? He takes a look in the corner, he sees a snake. There's no snake there. Color, that's a psychotic. Reality is completely away. For him, reality is not. He has his own reality. He'll say, I saw some people, he hallucinates. Some people came over here, they wanted to take me away. He saw them come into the room, ready to take me away. That's a thing. That's a psychotic, you see. They make a joke. They say, the psychologists make a joke. They say, neurotics build castles in the skies, and the psychotics live in them. Okay?
With a person?
See, the Rambam really makes the same chiluk. The Rambam makes... The Rambam makes the same chiluk. It's like this. Insofar as here...
Insofar as the physical reality. What is it insofar as? Insofar as knowledge. The real reality is the real reality of Chokhmah. The Rambam says there are two people. There's a person who can't see the reality of Chokhmah, can't see the ideas. That would be considered like what? Like a psychotic, correct. And then there would be a person who can see the idea, but he can't live up to it. You understand what I mean? That's like a neurotic. He's unhappy with the state. A neurotic knows there's something wrong. He tries to correct the situation. You follow what I'm saying? So we coined an expression. I would say like this. There's the philosophical, in the Rambam, there's the philosophical neurotic and the philosophical psychotic. And we one time in the yeshiva, one time mentioned this. It just so happens that there's, in one of the Rambams that they recently translated, the Rambam goes through practically, he says word for word, two categories. Of course, he doesn't say philosophical neurotic, philosophical psychotic. But it's machal for these two types of moments. And this is what the Rambam's saying over there. That's the Rambam over there. The Rambam's saying machal. That's the Rambam's going to go somewhere else. That there's a difference between two states, that, but not the psychotic and neurotic that the psychologist is talking about, but in a similar way. Over there, the psychotic and neurotic psychologist is talking about is the external world. The Rambam's talking about which world? The world of Chokhmah. In the world of Chokhmah, there's two states. The first guy, he can't even perceive it. That's psychotic. The second guy, he perceives it, but he's not perfected. He's still neurotic. He's still trying to perfect it. That's what the Rambam means. I'd ask you a question. In summary, I'd ask you a question like this. Is there schar for learning Torah? What do you say? What's the answer? That is lack. There schar for learning Torah? What's the answer?
No.
What's the Rambam say?
No.
It's impossible. It's impossible. The whole idea of schar for learning Torah is an absurdity. By definition, it's an absurdity. Why is it an absurdity? Because the moment you say schar for Torah, you mean that there's something, you're getting something else. That's an impossible. By schar I mean something other than Torah in exchange for learning Torah, keeping mitzvahs. Is there anything that a person will get in exchange? Will a person ever get anything in exchange for keeping Torah mitzvahs other than the fact that he was benefited by keeping Torah mitzvahs? Is there anything in exchange? It's impossible around this. That's the whole around. That's what around Maxwell will keep. That's what you have to remember. There's no schar for Torah. Okay? Schar and wages are synonymous. I work and I get money in exchange. That's schar.
Is there schar? I work, I keep the Torah. God will be good to me, he'll give me something in exchange. Wrong. Nothing in exchange. What did you get? You get exactly what you did. You get, no, not Olam Haba. You get, forget about it, nothing Olam Haba. You get the fact that you kept the Torah and that you benefit by the keeping the Torah itself. That's it. At this point, the Rambam is not talking about Olam Haba at all. Forget about Olam Haba. He says one thing. We'll see about Olam Haba later. The Rambam says one thing. Namely, that the schar is simply doing, living the correct way. That's the whole thing. Alright? Now let's see a question. He asked the question, same as this question a while ago. I tell you this. He says, why can't I say that when that God, besides the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I have the schar for keeping Torah, right? The actual schar for itself. Why can't I say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a candy bar besides? Like an Olam Haba, give me a candy bar besides. Why can't I say that? Why can't I say that? Things like this. That why does the Rebbe give the kid a candy bar? That's a reason for it. Of course. But in Olam Haba, the Sayyid Kaddish Baruch is going to give you a candy bar is absurd. There's no purpose anymore. That was your question? Okay. That's why you can't say there's anything. There's nothing else besides Torah itself. Nothing else. She says, How can you tell a person, why should I keep the mitzvah? It's not to be afraid of our Kaddish Baruch is going to hit you. They're not like a Rav Avinu. Okay? That's what we're up to. Alright. Now, I want you to know, when the Rambam mentions this thing, this is what the Rambam mentions is mentioned, is a basic principle in psychology, you know. This is called the pleasure principle. Psychologists maintain that a person operates completely on the basis of the pleasure-pain principle. That's what they call it. That's what the Rambam says. Is it? Pleasure-pain. That the whole purpose of man, is simply to gain pleasure and avoid pain. And that'll determine every action in a person's life. That's what the Rambam says. However, the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, that's true. But there's a higher level. What's the higher level? When a person comes in conflict with the pleasure-pain principle, why? Because he sees that there is something else, a different type of existence, above the pleasure-pain, above the physical pleasure-pain. Pleasure-pain principle is a physical principle. And it's a principle in psychology. It's true! But the point is, a person has to rise above the physical pleasure-pain principle. There's a higher principle in that. We'll see how to deal with that involvement right now. But that's why the Rambam emphasizes this. This is one of the fundamental basics in psychology. Pleasure-pain principle. But the Rambam says it's true, but there's a person that could rise above the pleasure-pain principle. Okay? Yes. Right now I identify the pleasure-pain principle as meaning the physical typhus. Okay? That's what the Rambam says. It's very hard for a person to rise above those physical typhus. Alright, now continue. Yasig HaMasig. What does it mean actually Yasig? Actually Yasig HaMasig. What does it mean actually?
You reach that which is principle.
Grasper word grass.
Yes. Who's the grasper? In other words, like this. If the Hamoinam, apparently the Rambam holds, can never reach that level. Because you see the Hamoinam, you always tell them to do it for what reason? Yeah. If you say the Hamoinam, you're trying to get them raised to a higher level, right? So then there should be a point where you stop. Right? But what do you tell the Hamoinam? Why do you tell them to do the mitzvahs? Reward. And if you don't do it, what's going to happen to you? You get a terrible inish. See? Why do you do that for the Hamoinam? For what purpose?
They can't stand it.
But Ache Yasig HaMasig, until what? Until that person from the Hamoin, that individual from the Hamoin, who's a little bit different than the Hamoin, a little higher level, until he could reach and understand. Continue, what does it say? Yeah. I do, because the Ram says, I'm not the only one that says that you shouldn't take the tapes outside this year. The Ram says the same thing. The Ram says, what about the Hamoin? Are you allowed to go home and tell people that they're all foolish because they're working for a star when it's not so, that they're all crazy, that they're afraid of Hashem and there's no such thing as this, but that the real reason that they should be good is because actually listening to the Torah is the correct life? Should you tell people that? What does the Ram say? Not allowed to.
But then why do you
not allowed to do it? The reason why I could teach you, obviously, is because I hold that you're not the Hamoin. Right? Hamoin is what I told you last time. The Hamoin is those people who have one disease. What's the disease? Yeah, the psychotic. In other words, the person who can never realize the one who has the chulei hanefesh, the psychosis of the nefesh, that he can't realize this idea. So him you tell to do it from Schar Einish completely. But a person who isn't on that level, you saw the Rambam says, "Lu'uma zeh tzarach liyas achinuch." You have to be mechanach a person to reach this level. You understand? But on mine, you can't do it. You can't. To him, you tell purely Schar Einish. Okay. All right. Now, there's one thing I will tell you. Why is it? You'll ask me a question. Why is it that you see guys in yeshiva, young guys, can really see it and understand it, and yet you'll find that older people in Hamonah will not be able to understand it? Why is that so? See, there's one rule. Now the Gemara says that Anivis is the most important midah. And the Gemara says, Haikol Tameh L'chul Amayim. Gemara says, a person, the Rav mentioned the article, a person cannot be a Tameh Chacham unless he's an Anav. Why can't a person be a Tameh Chacham unless he's an Anav? As a matter of fact, the Rambam says, this midah of Anivis is different than every other midah. Every other midah you go in the middle, but this one you go to the extreme. Why? Because this is a midah which, if you don't have it, it prevents you from getting Chachma. Why is that so? Why is that so? Tell me why. Exactly. The only way a person can learn is by an admission of ignorance. And I'll tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is that in Talmud Torah, a guy who becomes a big alumni, not necessarily the guy with a good head. Good head is important. But the good midas are far more important. Because a person can have a terrific head and not be able to use it. One of the basic, we said that this is a different psychology to Rambam psychology, the Torah psychology. The psychology is the psychology of the Chulei HaNefesh, the psychoses of the Nefesh, and the neuroses of the Nefesh. Different world. One of the worst diseases is what? Know what it is, the worst disease? Rambam says, the worst disease is what? Gaiva. Gaiva is the worst disease. Because Gaiva is a disease of the Nefesh. It prevents, there's nothing that prevents the Nefesh from seeing the truth more than Gaiva, for a simple reason. He mentioned it. Say it again, what is it? A person, it's a simple rule, a person can never learn as long as he's convinced that he knows. It's an impossibility. The only way a person can learn is when he sees he doesn't know, and now he has to start to learn. But if he thinks he knows, he could never learn. It's an impossibility. It's a psychological impossibility. You understand what I'm saying? Now what happens is like this. The fact is, the Rambam mentions, I'd like to go through a little bit, it's the Rambam I mentioned to you in the medical writings. Rosny, your father translated it into English. Yeah, I have it in Hebrew from the in the second book, I think. Well, I don't know, I made it into one volume. Second, the Rambam says, there's one disease of man. So we'll go through one time, we'll go through this beautiful Rambam, the way he analyzes it shows what it is, how it works. The disease of man is ego, egomania. And he calls it hamachla ha'anushis, the human disorder, because it only exists in man. And he shows how it works and what it is and the whole thing, how bad it is, and how it destroys a person's mind. Gaiva. Common term is gaiva. So the reason why the Hamon can't learn is because they have that disease of the mind. Why do they have that disease? Because a person is very prone to this disease. See, when a person lives and he's older, gets older, he feels he has to know answers. He can't say, I'm a total fool, a total idiot, about simple things in life, about what I'm supposed to do with my time. Should I spend my time making money? Should I spend my time learning Torah? He can't live and say, I'm a total idiot about Derech HaChaim. He must assume he knows. That's a part of the presumptuous nature of man. You see? Now, this nature that man has, once it comes to full bloom, the person is hopeless already. See? Young people don't have it. You know why young people don't have it yet? Because young people are socially put down, you see? So therefore, when you're young, you're not expected to know anything. So people tell you, you don't know, you're learning. So the disease can't come to the fore. So that's why any idea that you hear, you could really argue, you really understand the basic idea. If I tell you, look, you guys don't know what Gaiva is. So you'll say, you know, maybe you're right. You know, if you go around and tell somebody in the street, say, you don't know what Gaiva is on you, this guy will say, you're crazy. What do you mean, I don't know? I know. What do you mean? I can tell Gaiva. It's all about Gaiva. I'll spot him in a second. See? They feel that they know. That's the Hamon. That's why the Rambam says the Hamon, this Rambam's all tied in with before. The Hamon, you can't teach anymore. Why? Because it becomes Evel Mishtageah. So therefore, for them, what do you teach? What do you teach them? Then how do you teach? The Hamonam, you teach them Schar Vaynish. It's true, it's not true, it's false, but you teach it anyways. Why do you teach it anyways? Because for them, that's the only way they can understand. Ad Sheyasig Hamasig. Just like the Rebbe tells the kid, also he tells him a lie. He says, you know why you should learn? Because you're going to get a candy bar. Is that why the kid should learn? That's not why I should learn. But he tells me, I have to tell him a lie in order to be able to introduce him to Chachma. The same thing you do with the Hamon. Exact same thing. But is it true? No. But the Hamon, you have to do that way. Why? because the hamon is created. This is the Ramashit and the Hagdama that's running too. The hamon is created for one purpose, even though they don't have the full benefit. But one of their purposes of the hamon is actually yasek hamasi. That's what the Ram says. Okay. You should not, the shiurim that we have in Ashkafa, I must impress upon you again and again. I give the shiurim to the guys in this room. I don't give the shiurim for anybody else, because people will not be able to understand it. If I have to explain an idea to them, I have to go a totally different way, a complete different way of explanation. I can't use the same way I'm explaining over here. There's a reason for it. The reason, if you follow carefully what we said just now, you'll know what the reason is. Yes? The pleasure pain that Ram mentioned is why it's difficult for a person who can understand it to conquer it. And I told you, there's two things over here. Even the person that can understand it is difficult, he has to conquer it. The person that can understand it is because of the guide. You understand what I mean? Okay. But why were they matter the Hamoin? They were matter to teach the Hamoin? Because Achi Yasek Hamasek. Okay, continue. See, there's two things. In psychology, you have two things. You have the thing itself, the object, and then you have what is called the affect, meaning the emotion attached to that object. For instance, a person has a fear of a wolf, right? Okay, so there's the wolf, and then there's the emotion of fear attached to the wolf. Now, in psychology, it can happen many times that the wolf will be gone, but the emotion towards the wolf will express itself somewhere else. You could separate the affect from the object. You see? That's a fact. The human mind could do that. Now, the thing is like this. Most people do that. It's true, they don't have Grossinger's Hotel in mind when you ask them what Olam Haba is, but the affect of Grossinger's they have. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
If you think into it, you'll see it's true.
You
know what I'm saying? They say, what is it? Is it Grossinger's? Nah, that's crazy. But the same feeling that they have towards Grossinger's is there. Something like that. The emotion is there. The human mind can do that. I understand. If you went over to a person and said, look, my friend, I know you're going through tremendous Yisurim, keeping your heart this, and it's so hard for you, so painful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not reward you for it. Wait, the only reason I'm doing this, he's waiting for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. He's killing himself. He's waiting to get that pot of gold. Now you say, there's no pot of gold. The average person will not be able to take it. You'll tell him that, no, you know what you gained? You gained the fact that you went through all this torture. That's the best thing for you. Say, really? It doesn't seem that way. He tells one thing. Does the average Jew... Who keeps an average Orthodox Jew? Does he feel expectation that he's gonna that something good's gonna happen for what he's doing?
Yeah.
That's it. Then you see it's not lishma anymore. If there's a sense of expectation, then it's not. No, that's not lishma. That can't be lishma. If the moment there's a sense of expectation, it's not lishma. What's the expectation? And I would say that 99% of the people definitely keep the Torah with a sense of expectation. I have to go to a shiur on Shabbos for an hour. They look at their clocks and they walk and say, "Phew, boy, at least I'm kind of missing some of that." They really cared. If this was really what they wanted so much, you can be sure, my friend, that they would definitely revise their lives. There's no question about it. They wouldn't be going through all this pain that they're going through and with the physical pleasures, and just to have that 1 hour on Shabbos, they'd be learning whenever they could. And since they don't, so you know that there's a feeling of expectation for this. Yes. Is the whole Milchemes HaChayim over here. That's what you're here for. You're here for one reason, to make that change. And whether you're going, your whole eternity, your whole soul, your whole neshama, is dependent completely on how much you do. You see, originally you thought that it's very easy. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people figure, they say, some people look through the Rambam, and they say, look through the very good, and say, oh, terrific, the Rambam says no Einish. You know, it comes out very nice. They feel, oh, not everybody holds his Gehenim, the Rambam holds not Gehenim. Okay. My friend, according to the Rambam, it's much worse. Why is it much worse? Because you really see what you have to do with your life. If you want a Kadosh Baruch Hu put you here, you have one opportunity. The opportunity is either to be kind of nitzchias, to have eternal bliss, or else to completely lose out. And it all depends on how you direct all your keichas hanefesh in this existence. And how successful you are about that. Yes, there are. Oh, 1 second. But there is, but only insofar as I have to get a little further. Chavre Enish in this world is one thing. What is Chavre Enish in this world? The Rambam says to enable you. The Rambam says Perek Tes. I went through Perek Tes Milchus Tshuva. Is that true? Right, Perek Tes Milchus Tshuva. The Rambam goes through only one reason. Yosafta Degonecho. All the brachos is for one reason. What's the reason? What's the reason? I mean, but is there any good in any of those things inherently good? Absolutely zero. So what does it mean if you keep the Torah that you'll get schar? What do you get? What's the schar? The schar is you'll be able to keep Torah more. That's the only schar.
Oh, wait a minute.
Masig HaMasig means one thing. It means like this. If you don't have shmiras, if you don't have the framework of Torah mitzvahs, then those people can be, have no one that can be masik. Let's say, for instance, in today's society. Take a look. You don't have to, it's very easy. You take a look at an American society, right? What is American society? It's taiva rooted, taiva center. Who is a successful man? The man who has money, the man who has popularity. That's success. Power. Okay? This is a society which you could never have Yasag HaMasig. Why can't you have Yasag HaMasig? Why? Because it's totally corrupt. The person is destroyed from the day he's born. He's destroyed and he'll never make it.
Some people can
talk. Wait, I'm not talking. But his name is Robert M. Hutchins. He is. He happens to be the different levels in Batola as well. The person Batola watch television. I tell you, if you enjoy television, then you're in bad shape. If the person enjoys it, there's something wrong with it. He's not on the level. But I tell you, if you're going to bottle, if you're going to be involved, you want to. If you're going to bottle, I would say that, you know, the Gemara says, this is a Gemara like that. Kichal Shir Rabbanim B'Gesayo. Rabbanim got exhausted from their work, so they, from learning, so they made a joke. Milchid Dichser. Not bottle. So I say, if you're ever in that situation, I would tell you, I would advise you, rather than watching television, wasting time in shtus, get your emotions involved in shtus, read this book by Robert M. Hutchins. It's called Freedom in Education. You'll read about a guy who was raised in the Hamon, but was able to see through the system. Was able to see through the system in Hamon. I don't want to ruin it for you. Really, it's and Adam, the Gemara says, "Afilu akum v'asak v'teres manish yesh v'nev leish liyachol v'nev." Boy, he's in a higher madrigal than a regular bayman. Let's face it. Guy sees chachma and understands that the world is chachma. He's not in a high madrigal. He certainly is on a high madriga. So far as Adam says, on a high madriga. No question about it. Rambam says, the Rambam says about Aristotle. Rambam says in his letters about Aristotle, he says he's Tachlis Das Adam. Tachlis Das Adam. His eyes are the... He's the... chairman of the board of the Encyclopedia Britannica. I want you to know one thing. Certain things people think are easy and they're very hard. For instance, tefillah. Tefillah people think is a very simple thing. Tefillah is something, is an inyan which the higher the person place to begin with for ulterior motives. That's why he has to do it. Because at first he's not perfected to do it for the real reason. But as he perfects himself, then he does it for the reason start changing. I want you to understand something. When we say Abaye v'Rav are greater than us, it's not the pshat they're greater than us, they're more than we are. They're different than we are. The whole Asaga is a different one. You understand what I mean? Not the pshat, they're more intense than we are. They're totally different Asaga. You understand what I'm saying? So that a person has to be Shema Torah Mitzvahs now. Why? Why must he be, if he's not on the level, why must he be Shema Torah Mitzvahs? Why? Poses, why? Why? So that he reaches the level. So he reaches the ultimate level. Do you understand what I'm saying? A person is different than a behema. A behema is created to Shlemuzo. It's finished. But a person is created ki yetzalev adam ramin uro. So the only time you have the perfect man is after he himself creates himself, he completes his own creation. He's mashlim his bria, he's mashlim himself to be a perfect man. When does he become an adam? Not when he's born, he's not an adam. He's an adam when he's 70 years old, when he finally reached the level, when he perfected himself and made himself into an adam. Just like Adam Arishain was responsible for making himself, every adam today is responsible for making himself. It was the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that an adam should create himself. So man is created in an imperfect state. When is he mashlim? Is his bria? Himself he's mashlim. That's bechira. Understand what I'm saying? Why should a person be Torah mitzvah? So that he should reach that level where he's perfected and he's living the perfect life. Even though now he doesn't understand the benefits of it. But mir asiyas on mitzvah is something which trains him and which brings him closer to the end goal. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the real reason the person should do mitzvahs. Okay. That's why you should do mitzvahs. There's a lower level. The lower level is yiras ha'inish. There's three levels really. The lowest level is yiras ha'inish and tikvas haschar. That's the lowest level. The next level is where he realizes that the benefit is in itself, but he can't see it right now. So then he should do it. Why? Because ultimately he knows he'll get to the benefit. And the highest level is where the person sees the benefit itself. That is the highest level. Then it's automatic. You understand what I'm saying? All right. The two levels that I'm mentioning is in the Rambam and Shemayna Prakam. Which parak is it? I mentioned to you already. Parak Vav. The difference between Kaveshis Yitzray and Oved Me'ava. Kaveshis Yitzray means that he forces himself to do it. You see? He doesn't really see the benefit yet completely. That I'm not calling that Shlo Lishmo. I'm not calling that Shlo Lishmo. That I say that's not Shlo Lishmo. Lo Lishmo because he's doing it for the thing itself. But the only thing is, right now he doesn't see the benefit. He's still doing it for. If you ask me, what is the objective? Is the objective something extraneous or the thing itself? What's the answer? What's the answer? It's the thing itself. Okay. Well, that's lishma. It's not complete. It's an incomplete lishma.
Yeah.
It's an incomplete. No, yiras einish is shalai lishma.
Oh, yeah.
So there's three levels. There's yiras einish and tikvas haschar, which is completely shalai lishma. Then there's completely lishma where he sees it, actually what it is. And then there's an in between stage. That's the stage which you should be on. To do it, why? Yeah, to do it because he knows that this is going to lead to perfection. But he doesn't exactly see the perfection right now. That's why you should do it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, and if you don't do it, then you're forfeiting the greatest good. It's worse than Einish. You have to understand. Einish is an extraneous thing. You're losing the thing itself. You're losing the very good which HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented before you. You yourself are forfeiting the greatest good in life. You understand what I'm saying? The Einish does one thing. The Einish is supposed to show a person that the thing which he thought has value is valueless. It's supposed to remove his attachment to the physical. I'll give you an example. There's a pasuk in Eiv, a beautiful pasuk in Eiv. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu yechalatz oni bi'inuyay. Yechalatz oni bi'inuyay. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the oni through keeping him poor. Why? Because if the person becomes wealthy, many times it's the worst thing. It's possible to kill him also. It's the worst thing because he becomes attached to the typhus. This way, the fact that he's poor is the best thing because his emotions aren't attached to the typhus. His emotions are free so they can be attached to the Torah. That's what Chazal say. He's Zoru Baniyim Shemehen Teitzei Torah, the Gemara says. Be careful with Aniyim. Why will Torah come out from Aniyim, not from Hashirim? Why? What's the answer? Because Hashirim are attached to the physical. This guy is lucky. He's... Oh! Because he's in a better state. So therefore, I say one thing. Therefore, this is what Torah says. So what is an Einish really? An Einish is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes it away from you, then a person can remove... Sometimes a person can't remove himself from the Tivus. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu helps him. He removes him from the Tivus. You understand what I'm saying? That's... This is the biggest bracha. There's no such thing as what Eiv says. No such thing as Teichacha, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu just slaps a person. It's for his benefit. Tell him to daven. Tell him to daven. Ve'ein ha'amoy mafsidim. This is a very interesting thing. So it runs like this. Stop! The Rambam says, see, runs like this. It says that the Derech HaTorah starts off as a means and it winds up as what? As an end. But it has to start off how?
Why?
Simply that. Because people made that way. See, if person's made mitchilas briyasai, then what? That he goes after the type. What? That's right. Sometimes most of the hamoin it doesn't happen to, but some of the hamoin, what happens to them? They start off, they learn Torah. They tell them you're gonna get ahead of them if you don't learn. You're gonna go to Gan Eden if you do. So the person starts learning, but once he sees Torah and he sees Chokhmas Torah, like the Rambam says, Asher Ein Lo Erech V'Lei Kate. So then he becomes drawn, he says, one second, what am I being so crazy running after these taivas? The taivas are so painful and such torture anyways. I have the greatest tanor right in front of me, right available. You see? So then he gets drawn in. Torah draws him in. It starts off as a means and it winds up as an end in itself. Somebody was machaven to this Rambam. He didn't know about the Rambam. There's a statement almost Einstein. Almost verbatim. That's an interesting thing. That Einstein mentioned. He says starts off as a means and it winds up as an end in itself. So you start off thinking for a reason. He says, but then you see the thought and you see the chachma. He says that becomes the greatest thing in the world. That's why he says, I told you one time that the way he describes his feeling of when he contemplates the universe, that's Avos Hashem. I thought it was Avos Hashem. Because he says he started, when he thinks about the universe, he gets so enthralled that there's nothing left. That's why if you read through his life, you see he didn't care for any titles. Money was nothing to him. You know why? Because there's a person that was massive. He saw the real chachma. Shmuel Madriga. He could have been. A person like that is unfortunate. But the person with his midas. I mean, Einstein. With his midas, if he would have known what terror is, he definitely would have been better. You see, as great as a person is, there's also something. As great as a person is, a person can have a chuliyah nefesh in one area too. You see, like I'm sure he was convinced after a while that there's no such thing as a real deep system of the others, you know what I mean? So if you start to tell him, I don't know if you can get through the first barrier, you see? Looks like he's
convinced. But
the
Bible, didn't
it? Yeah, but the Torah, that the Bible itself, that's the upper person say that. We say that without Torah Shabbat Peah, there's nothing. The Torah Shabbat Peah, just to know that Torah Shabbat Peah, you don't understand what's going on there. You have no idea. That's the whole thing of Yahdus. Al Teresh about that, and I told you, that's the whole, all the upper Christian. They all based on one thing, namely, same thing as Dukim. That Teresh b'Ksav. And there's no Teresh b'Ksav. Once you take away Teresh b'Ksav, there's nothing at all. Damn. Goyim Lahab will also read Teresh b'Ksav. Yes. How to read it? They don't know the reading. The Ulam, you notice the Ram says, first of all, it says, it starts off the Ein HaAmoin Mafsidim, and then he says, Ulam Zetayv Lahem. I want you to understand, what does he mean? It's not Mafsidim and it's good. I mean, when he says it's not Mafsidim, Ein HaAmoin Mafsidim, and then he says it's Tov. If it's not, if it's Tov, it's certainly not Mafsidim. Why does Ram have to say two things? What does Ram mean? Two things of it, Ram says. He says that they're not losing out, and it's good. If it's good, they're not losing out, of course. Why does he have to say Ein Mafsidim? The Ram is speaking about two different Hamon here. The first Hamon, he says, Ein HaAmoin Mafsidim. He means like this. He says, if a person, let's say the Hamon that will not reach, there's a certain amount of people will see the truth. He says there's two benefits over here. One benefit, one thing is, the first Hamon isn't losing out. A Hamon that never reaches the true idea of Torah Lishma doesn't lose out. Why? Why don't they lose out? We'll soon get to that in a moment, why don't they lose out. The second Hamon, the second point is like this. Not only is there no loss, but there is a benefit. What is the benefit? The benefit is how? The benefit is because it's when it's able to lead to the good, you see? When it's able to lead to the real good. But they don't, even if it doesn't lead to the real good, you see, they still don't lose out. That's what he says. Stop. It's even good. And that's what I told you, folks. Why should you keep Torah? Why? Because, what does the Rambam say? Because from this, they will reach the point where they'll start seeing the truth. You see? The Yachzeru Oivdim Me'ava. Alright? The Zel Masham Chazal. Loilam Yasagam Torah Filish Lodash Ritachashon Babashma. Okay? So what are the same things like this? Insofar as Tivus are concerned, they don't lose out. I'll tell me they lose out on their physical Tivus. Right? They lose out on their physical Tivus. What's the answer? Yes, that's not a loss, it's a gain. Because the truth of the matter is, even in the physical Tivus, if a person follows the Derech HaTorah, he, on the contrary, he has more hanor from life. Yes, from the physical itself. No. Aside from the physical. Yeah. So I'll give you an example. See, psychologists show like this. They say there were certain nations that they had. You'll notice nations have restrictions on Tivus. All nations. Today it's changing, but till now, there were societies in which people had no restrictions on Tivus. They say those societies completely dissolved. Why? Because a taiva, once the, as I explained,
done,
we find
then it's no more pleasure.
Correct. There's not enough enjoyment out of the taiva for a person to satisfy himself. He only thinks that way when he imagines it. But if you actually let the person involve himself in taivas all day long, he'll find after a while he's going to be exhausted. It means he will not be able to satisfy. He'll wear out the taiva, and then he simply will be in a state of complete unhappiness. Right. That's why Chazal say, for instance, by Hilchos Nidah. Did I mention this question once already? Mm-hmm. By Hilchos Nidah, Chazal say that on the contrary, a person who keeps Hilchos Nidah, on the contrary, to him he has more hanor. Why? But a person who lets it go, simply just runs after Taivim, well, that's the one, has no value to him anymore. He's lost. Completely. So the point is, even in Taivim itself, a person gains by living according to the Derech HaTorah. You see? But of course, the ultimate gain is not the gain in Taivim. What's the ultimate gain? The only answer to see the type is nothing, go to the knowledge. But Ein HaAmoin Mafsidim, they don't lose out. Because even in the area of Taiva, they're not losing out. You understand what I'm saying? There's no loss whatsoever. About the particular Yisurim. We're talking about the particular Yisurim are created, but there's a basic reason behind it. Yeah, but the basic reason is that a person, I told you the basic reason, Ram says, Kashrus, and the basic reason for Kashrus and for Yisurim is one thing, Kedeshim to you, to control. And now a person who lives with his Taiva under control lives a better life than a human being, than a person who lives with his Taiva not under control. Vaharai, you take a look at all the people today that attempt to live their way, you see what happens to them. They wind up in Michigan with drugs and destroy themselves. Total destruction. Why total destruction and desolation? Because the life of Taiva unrestricted is the worst life. So Ein HaAmoin Mafsidim, the Ram saying two things. In terms of Taiva, they don't lose out, you understand? Because they're still living a better life. And Ulam Zet Taiv Lam, but it's even better because through this, those people can reach the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Sadi Goyen says, that's what Rav Sadi Goyen says, that there's really that there's really 10 categories, you see. There's 10 categories in the SS division, and everything fits under that. She goes through one thing and see how it works. Rambam says 14. The Rambam says 14.
When I mentioned last week what the Rambam says you can't tell everybody this, what we're learning right now. Because I'm on, I can't understand it. By the way, that didn't mean everybody, means that I didn't mean to say you can't tell parents. Depends on who the person is. I mean, you have to understand. If you say, when a person is London, he understands this. You don't have any problems. It just means certain
people. We're not distinguishing from outside people. We're just saying certain people cannot, on the level, to understand this idea. As the Rambam says, it's already written. But it doesn't mean everybody. There are plenty of people that know how to learn, that are knowledgeable, that they can understand the idea.
One
person has no idea what an anostair is. They don't understand what it is. You can't see any benefit in it. You can't tell them to do it for this. There's no benefit to him. He says it's worthless.
So what if you
can't
ask
what? Bises really wanted to be Kefir and Kolat Terah Kula. And they really denied the whole Terah. But the reason why they said Terah Shebiksav was a compromise. You see, they couldn't tell the Hamon. He says they couldn't tell the Hamon there's no such thing as Terah at all. You see? They really were Kefir completely. He says, but they couldn't tell the Hamon there's no such thing as Terah at all, so therefore they questioned the Chachamim. Because once the question of Chachamim, then it becomes a different type of Torah, already becomes a Jew. That's, by the way, the Rambam would say the same thing today with these other forms of Judaism. You know, conservatism and reform. Sure, they say the same thing. I mean, the point is that it's not a sheet that worked out of Torah, but simply they know what they want to deny. So they want to deny, but they don't want to go away with nothing. They don't want to go away with nothing, so they make like a compromise. Dukim and by Susim is not just Dukim. And if the Dukim died, they had the Karoim, and if the Karoim died, they don't exist anymore today. Dukim is one type of person that existed all the way through and exists today also. It's anyone who denies Teresh or Teresh Baal Peh. Denial Teresh Baal Peh, it's the same thing. Dukim today, the conservatives are Dukim today. No, different. Yes? JTS who promulgate the Shita, those are not Tinuch Nishbis. Those are people who really consciously do it. Fire, he's all with the Rechem. Because there could be a person who has crazy emotions who wants to be a Kefir, so he'll take something you're saying and he'll use it as a means.
He would have done it anyway.
No. You gave him the open. You gave him the, in other words, yes, that's the Pesach. You gave him the Pesach. You're not allowed to give him a Pesach. That you gave him a Pesach, but you're not allowed to. That's Yizor with the Rechem. Yizor with the Rechem means not just, I want you to understand, Yizor with the Rechem doesn't mean that somebody will honestly misunderstand. That's the only person you have to be Zoyer from. Yizor with the Rechem means you have to be Zoyer from people who have crazy emotions and who have their own Mishigas and they're waiting for an opening. That's Yizor with the Rechem. Boss, the person, he can quote you. Once he can quote you, ready. And he has whole Pesach. He started the whole thing. You don't give him the Pesach, he can't do anything. No. He didn't leave it open. Because that's not called leaving it open, you see. I mean, a person could never forewarn anything to the end of time, what a guy's going to do, how big the Amaratus is going to be. Over there, the statement itself has a meaning to it, which is can't be misinterpreted. It's just formulated in a way that an idiot could think that it means something else. You know what I mean? But over here, the statement itself has a true meaning. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Man, a person cannot forewarn what's going to happen 20 generations from now. I mean, how stupid a person can get, and that you can't forewarn. Besides, I mean, there's a limitation to what you can forewarn. There's a limitation. But all Chazal says is you shouldn't give a person an opening where they could really cause a tremendous breakdown in halacha. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Philosophy is a subject. The person can say, I'm not a physicist. I don't know physics. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know psychology. But philosophy, everybody knows. Why? Because a person can't walk around and say, I'm living a crazy life. I don't know what I'm doing. A person can't do that to himself. So he has to justify what he does. Therefore, whenever you'll find people do something, they always justify that this is really the reality. There's a rationale behind it. And they imagine that they have a whole system. If you could break the system, that's the first step in showing him that there's something wrong. Then you're liable to interest him to try to find out what the true answers are. See? That's a very good way to put it. One case I had was, there was a young guy, who was a, he was a young kid, he was about 15, very good head, I don't know, very good head. But he didn't believe in Derech HaTorah. So I don't try to push a guy, because try to push a guy, you know, he's resented.
What do you mean?
He didn't believe in Torah at all. He didn't believe in it. The young guy, you know, his parents were from and everything. He didn't believe they're out there. So I said, oh, I don't want to talk to him for a while. I spoke to him. I said, tell me. Do you believe that you're not allowed to that it's not right to kill somebody, to destroy somebody? Yeah, it's a terrible thing. In other words, you're against the Nazi Germany philosophy. Yes, definitely against it. So I asked him. I said, what basis do you have that is wrong? Why do you say that is wrong? Maybe that's the right way.
Maybe the truth of the matter is that he who is superior should really rule the world. Can you prove that it's not?
Morally, yes.
Don't they feel that morally it's right? Don't they feel a moral right?
Yes, they do. Yes,
they do.
Sure.
Of course.
Maybe so, let me talk about the Russian. After I broke down his whole sheep, and I showed him, I said, don't you see, if you don't have Sinai, then you have nothing. So you agree that you have to have a Sinai. And then I started telling Sinai. True Rachmanis for a person is to help them to see the truth, even if it might be painful at first. You know what I mean? I think it's a double thing. Because learning for yourself is important. You have true ideas of Torah, and you learn Torah. But then the more you learn, and the more you see in ideas, and in Yadas, and Torah, and Halacha, and every area, the greater you become, the more you grow. Because there's one growth. The more you grow, then the more you can really help somebody else. And the less you have yourself, the less you can get somebody else. That's right. Helping somebody else help yourself. Ram says, that's part of Avas Hashem. That's Vayikra Hashem Avram B'Shem Hashem. It's part of Avas Hashem, is to help others. That's what Avram Avinu did. Why did Avram Avinu prove it? Avram Avinu went around simply by ideas. That was his whole thing. He would argue and show, the Ram mentioned, that he would argue and show, Vayikra Hashem Hashem Hashem. He explained about Hashem. Show how Avodah Zarah's stupidity cannot be, and he proved to them that there has to be a Rabbeinu Shlalom. So you have to have the...
First of all, you have to know also about Muslims. The second reason is you need Hagdama. I'm reversing the order. I'm the you have to have, a person has to learn how to think properly before you can go into these areas. It's a very high area. The guy can't work out of places. He can't be a philosopher. That's why we have, like, in the world, it's a free-for-all. This guy, you see, take a look. This guy will tell you the philosophy of Judaism. That guy will tell you the philosophy of Judaism. We have one way whether we know it's worthwhile to listen to a person's philosophy or not. What's the way? If you're London or not, that's all. A guy cannot be ignorant of a tesis, not be able to work out a tesis, because he doesn't have the sechel, and be a great philosopher. It's impossible. See? The first area is halacha. Halacha is the area where a person really works his mind out, and he sees if he's ready. If he's not ready to work out a halacha, a sugya, with a rishonim, he can't work it out, he's not ready for higher thought. The higher is much, much more difficult area. So the Rambam says, Rurian him like Dimon. For two reasons. First of all, because you can't go into the more difficult until you perfect yourself in the easier. Okay? And secondly, lay down asva mutter, because perfection of the soul. Okay. With regard to the words of the Chachamim, there are three groups. What does Rambam bring this in here for? You see, the thing is like this. First the Rambam refutes them theoretically. That's the first thing he does. He shows that their ideas are crazy. Maximar. Alright. Now the Rambam, but everyone supported themselves with the Rechazal, right? So now we have to show that they're right or they're wrong. See, the Rambam follows a definite pattern over here. First he shows logically why they're incorrect, because there's two parts to their argument. One part, he knocks them off with one sweep logically. Now he's going to show you, but what about their rayas? They all have rayas from Chazal. This is the answer to the second part. Okay? I'll interpret. All these things they interpret literally. All these stories. We're going to say, we're just telling, not saying what he's supposed to know. We're just saying what they do. This is what the Rambam says. Then seven mehem pirish nista b'shem panim. It's all physically true. Adam Rish was 150 amas of his figure. All these things. Okay. Vanim nois, and things which are impossible to a person who has knowledge of the physical world. Kulam heim etzlam chuyavai samatzias. According to them, everything that's impossible is not only possible, but it's necessary. Definitely happened that way. Book written, Legends of the Talmud. And it's written by, what's his name again? The from the JTS. Now it's paperback. Legends of the Talmud. So what did he do? He did the big work, tremendous work. What did he do? He translated it in the Drushan. Fine. So people, he calls it Legends, of course. So people, but he thought, the one who translated it, forget who his name was. I think it was Rasul Mashiach. Right. And I think in a cover, yeah.
Little book.
Right, fat book. Yes, well, he took the Midrashim and he translates them, these legends, and people read them and they say, yeah, the Talmud, that's what they believe in. They believe in all these crazy things, all these fables. Fables! What is that? That's what the Rambam says. Stars and this and the heavens and all these things. All these things that are not true. What? So they believe there's different heavens and all these shtus and all these things. Ridiculous things. So people, what do people say when they read that? What do people say? This is exactly what the Rambam says. What do people say when they read that? They say, boy, yeah, way out. Boy, these guys are way out. You know, sounds like other primitive nations.
Mahavdil, I mean, it's a say all kinds of nonsense. That's what the Rambam's talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about. Okay. That's an interesting thing. That the Pasuk that says, it says, what does the Pasuk say? Kimigo Godul.
Wow!
Dvorim Dalid Pasuke. Re'e limadati eschem chukim mishpatim. Kashet? The Rambam says, what? So the Rambam says one thing he says. He says that this pasuk isn't just telling you Stama's story over here, that people are going to say the Torah is great. It's a barometer. It's a barometer for Torah. It means to say like this, that you should know one thing. If you learn something in Torah, and if that thing which you learned doesn't make any sense, but it sounds stupid and ridiculous, then you should know one thing. That what? That's not Torah. That's not Torah. Can't be Torah. Why? Because the Torah is made. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made in Dvarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if a person who has seichel, a person who has seichel would hear what the ideas of the Torah are, then he'd have to admit it's tremendous chachmah. And therefore, if you take a chazal and you say it's pshuta kamashmoi, and the chazal doesn't make any sense, and the contrary, people who have chachmah say this is stupidity, so then you know right away what? That can't be the meaning of chazal. Can't be! Because Torah, every idea in Torah is chachmah. And if a person who has chachma in a field, a person with knowledge has chachma, would say that this is impossible, this is stupidity, you understand very well that this can't be the meaning, this can't be it. Of course, if the person is a shaita, then chachma sounds kind of stupid. You know what I mean? It means if it's not chachma, it's a barometer, if the Torah isn't chachma, then you know that it can't be. That's why the Rambam says all these chazal and all these midrashim, if you think for a minute that they are literal, then you're making a mistake. That can't be Torah. In other words, because really rationality dictates that it's not so, then you know that it's wrong. But if they just don't want to accept something, they're not saying it's irrational to say it didn't happen. You know, when they see Legend of the Talmud, they say it's just fable. It's not a matter of they wouldn't say that. They say that these things cannot occur. This can't be. According to you, can't learn anything about anything anymore. That's what I'm telling you. The Rambam is saying, the Rambam's not saying there's no such thing as a literal pasuk. The Rambam's not saying there's no such thing as a literal divrei chazal. The Rambam's saying you have to know in certain instances when it's not literal. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, like this. The chazal, when they wrote their works, they didn't want certain ideas obvious to the Haman. So what did they do? So they wrote preposterous mishalim. Now when you come across those preposterous mishalim, you'd be an idiot to think that it's literal. The reason why they made it into a mashal was because they wanted to hide its content. Don't you understand what I'm saying? But when a plain pasuk in the Torah means what it says, there's no question about that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those chazal. Rambam says one thing. Those chazal would give these. Those chazal. I'll finish you off the three kitas. I'll go through that particular chazal in brachas. I'll show you exactly what every step of it means. Okay? Every step will define exactly what it means. Beautiful chazal. But there's ideas behind it. Not some stories, some babmaisas. Why should chazal tell you over stories like that? Who cares? 10 feet, 20 feet? Well, who cares about this? What follows? That when you see, in other words, the method of chazal was that when they wrote these fables, every step is another idea. That's why they wrote it in such a preposterous way. They didn't want a plain person to understand because they were hiding it from them. But the thing that Chazal just sat around all day and tell over crazy stories, who cares how tall like Melech HaBashan was? What do I learn out of that? If you know Chazal, wanted to teach you something. Do I care if there was a certain ape that was as big as King Khan? So who cares? You're going to write about it. Who knew Chazal writes the stories, fairy tales? Who cares? And let's say he did exist, what do we care? You understand what I'm saying? So when Chazal writes the Chachomim, they write Chachomim only writes things that are important. Now obviously when you come across these things, there's a reason why they did it. Anyone that has sense knows they did it because they wanted to convey an idea in a concealed way. You understand what I'm saying? That's all the Rambam's saying. Rambam was really against learning Ein Yankif. Learning Ein Yankif. The Rambam's against it. He says, or at least, if you are learning it, so then you if you are learning it, learn the correct way, or else say, when you come across Chazal, say, I don't know! Say, look, this Chazal is deep meaning, I don't know. At least nobody walk away with a wrong idea. But people actually teach it, and they say, this is actually literal. So what if you walk away and say, Chazal are crazy? What? That not, when I say, when the Rambam says, rather, that the Pasuk is a barometer, it doesn't mean it's a barometer that people don't accept it, that it's not true. It means it's a barometer that if it's illogical and if they're right, it's not logical. Then you should know it's wrong. Makata Shnia, the second group, Haim Rabin. Many of them. There are many, many, also a larger number. Gam Kain. I know, Vehem Isam Shiro by Divra Chachamim, Ishamim. They heard the words of the Chachamim. They vinu Isaik Faisam Kipshutai. Yes. What was the last line? L'fi sheheim b'machshavtam nevayim v'chachomim b'ineihem. Because these people in their own eyes, they consider themselves very wise. U'mechudodim, and very sharp. U'filosufim, and they think they're great philosophers. V'kamahim rechaykim min ha'anushis, etel oisim sheheim chachomim u'filosufim ala emes. And how far are they from the personality, from the perfection of the individual that is found among the real chachamim and the real philosophers? Aval heim sichlim yeser min akata rishena. But they are greater fools than the first group. Vaharbe mehem pisayos. Vuhu kat arura. And this is a cursed group. Alright? Now let's see, what is it? So his Gerstein asked a question. Why are they worse than the first group? I mean, you'd say on the contrary, they're better. Because the first group, in terms of knowledge, accepts things that can't be, that are impossible. So they're really foolish, right? But the second group, at least insofar as knowledge is concerned, they don't accept crazy things, right? Question is, why is the second group worse than the first group? The second group, at least they're smart enough to know you can't have crazy things going on. So therefore they say that the chachamim are foolish, right? That's what they're wrong about that. But they say that because it's based on, they have some knowledge. The first group are complete idiots. They accept any mishigas. They tell them any crazy story, they'll accept it. Right? It's like this. I'll tell you what the Rambam means. All right, follow us. What the Rambam means is like this. You see? The Rambam does not mean the person who is honest and sincere. You see, a person is honest and sincere and looks at the words of a Chacham and says, I don't understand it. You know? That's not the second group. That's not Kata Shneira. The Rambam says an interesting thing. The Rambam is speaking about a group. By the way, both groups are prevalent today. Like the Rambam says they're prevalent in great numbers then, they're prevalent in great numbers today as well. And if you look around, you'll see it's true. The Rambam did not wipe them out by writing this Chibur for some reason. Anyways, the groups are like this, you see. The Rambam is saying a very sharp thing. There are a group of people, they're like the pseudo-intellectuals, you see? Like he mentions, men in the medical profession, but not just the medical profession, professionals. Today it's more, see? In the time of the Rambam, he says men of medicine. Why? Because in those days, the only people who were educated went into medicine. People who went into areas, people who were self-educated, they went into medicine. Today, it's not just that. Today, it's a larger amount, because today education is compulsory already. So that people who have degrees consider themselves knowledgeable. The Rambam says like this, those people, there is a certain emotion among those people that they consider themselves intellectuals. So there's a group of people that their emotion is that they consider themselves superior to anything else that happened before, you see. There's a certain feeling of superiority they have. And for that reason, they degrade the Chachamim. It's not because they don't degrade the Chachamim, you understand, because they don't really understand the Chachamim. That's not the reason. There's a certain emotion that they have, an emotion of haughtiness, which prevents them from recognizing anybody else, and which gives them pleasure and delight in degrading others. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what the Rambam mentions. That's what he means. That's what the Rambam means. But you'll ask me a question, so if that's the second group, then there should be another group. There should be the group that we just mentioned before. Namely, the group that simply looks at the words of Chachamim and says, they don't know, right?
Okay.
One second. Excuse me? In other words, why does the Rambam accuse them of being haughty? That's what I want to know. Why does the Rambam accuse them of being haughty? Why can't the Rambam say, the second group, why can't the Rambam say that they're honest people, they just look at the words of Chachamim and they don't understand it? The Rambam says that there is such a thing, and there is no doubt about it. The Rambam's right. I mean, if you saw, there is a group like that. There's no question about it. These pseudo-intellectual type of people who consider themselves tremendous Chachamim. And when you speak about a Gemara, if you speak about Chachamim and Gemara, immediately, please, you know, don't bring that up. That's scientific people. We have more knowledge today than they had then. You see? Of course, there are a lot of people like that, especially Bisman Hazeh. I think this Kat Shnia that the Rambam mentions in his day was much smaller than it is today. It's much, much greater. Yeah, all the college intellectuals, everybody's intellectual. So you tell them about Talmud, tell them something about Gemara. Oh, Gemara, ridiculous. See? Second group. I mean, we're all familiar with these type of people. I don't think anyone here has not come in contact with such people. Okay? That's the catch here. Now, the Rambam says this group of pseudo-intellectuals is worse than it's actually the opposite. It's the negative of the first group. The first group are the ones that the real extremely firm people, the emotion of the accept anything. That's the first group. The second group is the opposite side, like Minakotza Lakotza, the first group and the second group. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now my question is, why does the Rambam accuse the second group? Why can't he say that they came to a judgment rationally? They approached it, they said it doesn't make sense. Why does he accuse them of being so haughty? What's the answer? The Rambam, you have to show me that through their position they have gaiva. Why?
That's right.
They have information, the second group. They have information. But they're not going according to logic. Exactly what I said. They're not going according to their logic. That's not what the problem is over here. They're going according to their own emotion of ego. You see? They're following their own emotion of ego. You'll ask me, you'll say, but why isn't it possible that they're looking at it rationally? One reason why it's not possible, he mentioned it before, Silverstein. The reason is like this. Because when people say, in other words, I guess, we said there's two forms of knowledge. Remember when we went to Torah Sinai? There's two forms of knowledge. What are the two forms of knowledge?
Primary
and secondary. Now, a person who denies secondary knowledge is a fool. Okay? A person who denies secondary knowledge is a fool. Now, when you have people that you see, for instance, anyone takes a look at a Gemara could see that there's tremendous chachma there. And when you have people that say that these individuals were extremely great chachamim, and we know that that there's a basis to assume that this is so based on the fact, then you take one statement that the man made that's foolish and you call him an idiot, then you're not making a fair judgment. You see, that judgment isn't a rational judgment. A rational judgment should say like this. You know, they see, yeah, they really are tremendous chachamim, but the guy said a foolish statement. I don't understand it. You understand what I'm saying? Because rationally, when a person sees somebody who is a greater chacham than he is, you understand, and he says something he doesn't make sense to him, so he doesn't accept that which doesn't make sense, of course, because he knows it's not true. But he also doesn't draw a conclusion that person's a fool just because he didn't understand it. But the conclusion that he should draw is as follows. Logic will dictate that he should draw these two conclusions. One, the man is a chacham. Two, what the man is saying doesn't make any sense. So I must say only one logical conclusion. What's the logical conclusion? That I don't understand what the man said. You see? That I don't understand what the man said. You see, the Rambam mentions that when they say what the chacham said is foolish, they don't merely say that they made a mistake. They say the chacham are stupid. They deride the chacham and they degrade them. To say that a person who is a chacham made a mistake, that's one thing. Everybody can make a mistake. The Rambam can make a mistake. Anybody can make a mistake. But to say that a person is an idiot, to degrade him, that shows you that you're just operating under one emotion. What's the emotion? The emotion of ego. Because you're looking for somebody to degrade. So therefore, if you find something the guy says, you say, hey, he's an idiot. You will not look at the other side and see that he's accepted as a chacham. And that secondary knowledge should dictate that really the man is a great chacham. You understand? Instead of recognizing that, you're just looking to degrade the guy. So therefore, the moment you find one thing wrong, you say he's an idiot. What about the other things that he said? How could he be an idiot if the other things he said are so intelligent? You see, your conclusion, your rational conclusion should be one thing, namely that what? The man is a chacham, but I don't understand what he's saying. I can't accept what he's saying at face value. Now the question is, which person is further away from the truth? This kachniyah, the second group, or the first group? All right? We're working on the two emotions. Which emotion is worse? What do you say? Yes? See, the thing is like this. With ego, we mentioned many times, ego is the worst psul. Why is it the worst psul? It's a psul learning ego. Why? Yeah, blocks everything else. Because a man could never, that's what the Gemara says, Hoy kol tzame l'chua mayim, ein tara niknes elabamisha mesin, elabamisha daite onav. Like mayim, the Gemara says, why does ma mayim, hoy lech makam gadol, ad makam na, shafal, nafal, namach. So too, water, terror is like water, so it goes to a person as low. It's a marshal of the market. But what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that there's a psul. You see, we mentioned before that there's two psychologies. There's the psychology of the world, which is based upon the definition of the soul the way they define it. The soul is an instrument to receive taivas. That's what they hold. But then there's our psychology of Yahadis. Our psychology is based on the Tzalam HaLakim, whose essential nature is perceived to something far greater than physical taivas. Right? Now, just like there are diseases of the psyche, like they have, we have a disease of the psyche also. Right? But our diseases of the psyche, achuli and nefesh, are different, because achuli and nefesh are insofar as the perception is concerned, right? One of the chuli and nefesh is gaiva. Gaiva is a chuli and nefesh. A psychologist would not say a person's ill if he has gaiva. No, he's very healthy in the country, he's good, he has a good healthy ego. But we say he's sick. Why do we say he's sick? Because his nefesh cannot function in his proper way. Because what's the purpose of the nefesh? To be able to perceive the chachma of Hashem, right? Now, once the person has ego, so therefore he can't admit that he doesn't know, correct? And the moment he can't admit that he doesn't know, so therefore he can never start to learn, because he presumes he knows everything. You understand what I'm saying? Oh.
So gaiva is a chuliyah nefesh. And the thing is like this. The second cat has a real chuliyah nefesh. When they have a chuliyah nefesh, so he doesn't have any... It's true, they might have certain facts. A person has a chuliyah nefesh, you have certain facts, that's true. But in terms of really being perfected, in terms of being perfected as an individual, individual perfection, when we speak of perfection of the soul, so what do we mean perfection of the soul? We mean when the soul is in the best situation to acquire knowledge, correct? This person is not in the best situation to acquire knowledge. On the contrary, he has an imperfection of the soul because he has the greatest defect. He has something which prevents him from functioning as a human being. You see? Ah, one second. Now, that's the second group. The second group has neither perfection. They don't have primary knowledge, and they don't have what? They don't have secondary knowledge. The first group has what? The first group is like this. You see, in the first group, we have to define what the they also have something wrong. I mean, you can't say there's something wrong. In the first group, they also have something wrong with them. But at least the first step to knowledge they have, namely secondary knowledge. Correct. I know him, and therefore they have secondary knowledge. See, if a person is an onav, the thing is like this. If a person is secondary knowledge they have. Why do they have secondary knowledge? Because they know who the Chachamim are. Don't you remember what's in the primary knowledge and secondary knowledge? What's in the primary and secondary? Primary means that you yourself understand. Secondary knowledge means what? It means that I know that he's a doctor. That's secondary knowledge. I know that he's a great doctor. The first derech of the Torah, the first way HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to introduce us to his Torah was one way. Secondary knowledge. To show you that the Torah is right. But that's not the end. It's only the beginning. One is the end. One is the person who really reaches out and Torah fully. One becomes primary. When he really sees, he really understands. Like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't have Matan Torah, but Avraham Avinu knew the whole Torah. Why? Because he had a primary, and he understood it insofar as primary knowledge is concerned. You understand what I mean? Secondary knowledge is only the introduction. Secondary knowledge means this is a school of medicine. How do you know where to learn medicine? NYU is a school of medicine. So you know that's secondary knowledge. But he doesn't know medicine yet. You see? That's just the first step. Okay. Now, insofar as the Torah, which is the true science of the soul, which is the true science of the nefesh, is concerned, so again, you have secondary and primary knowledge, correct? Now, the first group doesn't have primary knowledge. They're lacking in primary knowledge totally. Because you see that they don't even know basic facts. They accept any crazy thing. They think it's possible, right? So they're lacking in they're devoid of primary knowledge. But what about secondary knowledge? What about secondary knowledge? Secondary knowledge they have. Where do they have the secondary knowledge? Where? Where's the secondary knowledge? Where? Exactly. Except the Chachamim. Do you understand? The second group doesn't have either. The second group doesn't have primary or secondary. Why? Because the second group has a chulei hanefesh. The first group doesn't have a chulei hanefesh. They're lacking something. Okay. Let me put it this way. Forget about this. Let's put it this way. The question is like this. This first group also has to have something wrong. He's right. Has to have some chulei nefesh. You can't say they're healthy because you see the way they are. You're right. But the question is, which chulei hanefesh is worse? The second or the first? I could show you, I could demonstrate it to you on the basis of primary and secondary knowledge. Why? Because you see, the second group's chulei nefesh prevents them from having either.
Why?
Either. Because gaiva prevents primary.
Why?
Because once a person is convinced that he has knowledge, so therefore he can never learn. Because the first step in learning is an admission that you don't know. That's the first step, as the Chazal say. That gaiva is the worst mida, and anova is the greatest mida. Because in order to gain knowledge, you have to have anova. Without anova, a person is like gaiva, cannot gain any knowledge. A person who thinks he knows the sugya could never learn right shot in the sugya. I want to tell you, in learning also, if a person will sit down and learn through a sugya, and he cannot, after working the sugya for a week, if he can't sit down and say, I don't know what the whole sugya is about, I'm starting to learn from scratch. If he can't do that, then he can never become a lama. Why? Because if he has to be right, he has the feeling he must be right, that this must be the pshat, then he can never be honest. He can never assume he doesn't know. And maybe there's one point that he doesn't see. But the only reason he doesn't see is because he keeps on thinking that he knows it. He assumes that possibility is out of the question. That's why it's impossible for a person to really become a chacham, to perfect himself, if he has that need of gaiva. You see? Okay. Now,
no.
They mevazin, no, but they mevazin the chacham. They call them fools. But they call them fools. How can you call them fools if you say the one? Idiotic statement. How is that possible? How can you say the same person is a tremendous genius and then he's an idiot at the same time? You understand? No. smart. You see that smart people could make an error, but a smart person, you can't say a man like Einstein is going to make a mistake in 2 and 2 is 4. And I'm not saying by accident. I mean on purpose.
Maybe
that's
one,
impossible.
True,
because the Chachmei, if you would investigate for a moment, you will find out that the Chachmei and Mishnah themselves discuss the deepest philosophies. They maintain that they have the deepest philosophy. They can't be just idiots. There has to be something there. If a person is a chacham and he says, I know an area that has tremendous chacham. Let's say he knew somebody who's a great chacham. Let's say Rav Soloveitchik came here today. And he says, I know there's an area in Yehadis that has tremendous chacham in it. What are you going to say? He doesn't know what he's talking about. Say, the man's a chacham, he knows what chacham is. How could he be wrong? He has to be right. He might make a mistake in the area, but there has to be an area of chacham. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore we say like this, that they both have chulei hanefesh, it's true. But insofar as the first group is concerned, at least the chulei hanefesh that they have doesn't take them completely away from knowledge. Why? What kind of knowledge do they have? You see, it doesn't take them away completely, because they have secondary knowledge at least. But the second group, their chulei hanefesh prevents them from having any kind of knowledge at all. So they're worse, they're further away from the truth than the first. The chachom doesn't just mean he read Agarata. Chachmei Yisrael maintain that there's a Messiah of Chachma which they're only able to give over to a few people in a door. This is what the philosophy of the Chachma was only given over. They mentioned openly. It was only given. So these Chachma say that there's a whole Messiah of Chachma and understanding, and you're saying that they're fools. That's impossible. You see something you don't understand? So you have to say you don't understand it. That's the only rational answer. Because if a person would have, that's what Ram maintains, if a person would have another, he would know, for instance, let's say in every door, there are people who are chachamim, right? Now if a person has another, he knows that this guy is a chacham, can't just be nothing there. So he wants to see if they're really chacham, he has to start investigating and start learning. How can he make a decision without learning what they say, without investigating what they're saying? To actually sit down and learn a piece of Gemara, to go to a person who knows how to learn and sit down and learn. Possible. You mean he went to Chachmei Yisrael and he sat down and he learned and he really tried to understand the Gemara? He went to the Rav and he sat down and learned by a shir. And then he saw there was no chachma there. That's impossible. So the answer is he didn't do that. What did he do? He simply makes a judgment. He just makes a judgment. Why is he making a judgment? Because of his own emotion. He's right. It is possible, and there are people like that. There are people from the first group that are bigger balagaiva, could be bigger balagaiva than people from the second group. That's true. But that doesn't matter that the Rambam doesn't mention that. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Rambam is speaking about the group, not about individuals, but he's speaking about the position, the group, from its position. You understand what I mean? The position of the first group doesn't dictate the guy should be a balagaiva, but the position of the second group does. You understand what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? It's true. It is true. You find people who have the emotions of the second group that wound up in the first group. That's true. So what do? They attach their own emotions in the first group. The big balagaiva is right. Call it by an apicaris, call it by anything. Anyone doesn't accept what they say is a kaif and beaker. They don't consider them, they have sinus Israel. They don't deal with people. I mean, they're over to come of Eris. You're right about that. Many of them are ever you're right, but that doesn't mean that's simply a particular case that's not resulting from the position of the first group. The position of the first group inherently doesn't dictate that he be a balgaiva. The position of the second group, the Ram maintains, inherently dictates that he has to be a balgaiva. Yes. If you mean, I think you're making a mistake. You're making, it's what Pinchas says to you. In other words, you're assuming certain people that you know, that you feel fit into Kat Rishayna. You know what I mean? You're not going by the cut per se. You're right about that. I mean, there are people that way. I agree. But the only thing is that the cut Rishayna per se, the position of the cut Rishayna per se, doesn't dictate that that's the way it should be. You understand what I'm saying?
They what?
Mistake. They're just making, what is their mistake? Let's define the mistake of the cut Rishayna. What is the mistake of the cut Rishayna? They know that they're a Chachamim, right? So therefore they accept the Chacham. Okay, that step, they're right. Now, when the Chachamim say something, so what happens? So they're in conflict. Why? Because they assume immediately that they assume to be true. You see? And therefore, they accept the Pshuto Kamashmo against, without having any knowledge of the Metzias. And they assume it's a mistake. Actually, the Katri Shaina, the mistake, is not so much an imperfection of the soul, but what is it really? It's a lack of knowledge, a lack of Yediyas. They don't have the Yediyah. You understand what I'm saying? The Kat Shemiyah is a psul in Chulei HaNefesh. Now we come back to the question of Chulei HaNefesh. Kat Rishayna, of necessity, you don't have to say there's a serious Chulei HaNefesh there. Simply, they're making a mistake. They think that this is supposed to be Shittim HaGavar HaShmoy, and they know that the Chacham are really Chacham. So therefore, they accept this as so. What do they do when they're confronted with knowledge? There they make a little mistake. When they're confronted with knowledge, they really should say, well, I don't know. But they don't. they still go by their secondary knowledge. You see, in that area, they are making a mistake. There is something there. But it's not a chuli nefesh like the second kind. The chuli nefesh like the second kind is complete disease of the mind. A disease of the mind which there's no escape. See? The person's totally ruined. Yes, Gerson?